This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Our health and living segment today, we're looking at healthy aging, and joining us, Dr. Terence Ong, consultant geriatrician from University of Malaya Medical Center. Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin recently said that more than a million of our senior citizens aged 60 and above have not gotten their COVID-19 booster. Now, with the Omicron wave upon us, older adults remain a high-risk group for developing severe COVID. So what's fueling this hesitancy? Well, it's important for us to get our boosters as well as our elderly folks, and we're going to be finding out more on this. If you have a question or you want to share a story about how you're having trouble convincing your older family member to get boosted or even to get vaccinated in some cases, or are you yourself not convinced? Well, give us a call. The number is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018 789 8899, or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Terence. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are most welcome. You know, can you just explain to me why is it, and we all know Omicron is terribly and highly transmissible. What is that, this wave? How is this wave going to impact the older people?
I think this wave is going to impact the older people not too dissimilar to perhaps what we've seen previously. Although you hear stories about how, you know, Omicron is mild, it is milder, and I think that's a bit of a misnomer, because yes, although Omicron perhaps doesn't lead to more serious COVID with regards to hospitalization or intensive care or the need for ventilation, that doesn't mean it is not a serious illness. So that is something that perhaps has been fueling some of this hesitancy with regards to what this wave is all about. And maybe changing the narrative would certainly put people in the right direction.
What would be that narrative, you feel?
I think calling it a mild COVID, I think is, again, like I said, a bit of a misnomer already, because many people who do get COVID, unfortunately, do suffer with it. And that means it's not exactly a mild disease. And the narrative of calling it just mild, like the flu, for instance, and we're hearing a lot of that narrative being perpetuated. Oh, it's just like a flu. It is just like a flu. And phrases like, oh, just let it rip through community. And I think that's really, really disingenuous. It perhaps downplaying the significance of what we're going through.
Okay. What are you seeing at University of Malaya Medical Center? I mean, you have a geriatric unit. Are you seeing many older people coming in with Omicron and who, you know, for an example, haven't got their booster? And how is that impacting them?
Are we seeing many people coming with COVID? Thankfully, as I've said earlier on, as we've seen with the data, the number of people coming into hospital with COVID is certainly less than what it was in previous waves. And I think vaccines have certainly played a very big part in that. But unfortunately, of those who we do see coming with COVID, either they have not completed their vaccination or they were very much the group of people that we would expect in a way to come in with COVID, the older and the ones with multimorbidities. So thankfully, better, but that does not mean that we are in any way out of the woods.
Okay. And have you seen much long COVID cases among older adults based on the previous waves?
Yeah, we're certainly seeing long COVID, although obviously people are still debating what the actual definition is for long COVID. But we are certainly seeing people that, yes, they may have recovered from your COVID in terms of your blood tests or your chest x-rays or your respiratory symptoms. But unfortunately, they get troubled by the after effects of the COVID, whether that be tiredness, lethargy, headaches, mood disorders. A lot of our older people, unfortunately, suffer a fair bit of, say, their memory doesn't become as sharp as it used to be. So the after effects of COVID do persist after the infection. And again, we keep coming back to the importance of vaccination as a preventative measure for all this. So we are seeing them, thankfully, not again as much as we were previously. Again, the benefits of vaccination again has been applauded.
Okay, so if you've got to the first two doses, Dr. Terence, how detrimental is it if you don't get the booster? Because we have so many, right? More than a million of our senior citizens above the age of 60 who have not gotten this booster. And, you know, if they insist that they don't want to get the booster, then what do we actually do?
Okay. So I guess the first part of the question is why need the booster at all? Do we really need it? And unfortunately, the science is very consistent on this. The science is consistent in the fact that if you want to have the best level of protection from COVID, we've already covered this Omicron wave that's coming through our country at the moment. Estimates are that we've not even peaked yet. And if you want to offer, gives ourselves the best level of protection, then a booster is absolutely paramount. What does the science say? Well, we know two doses, yes, confers a good level of protection, but that vaccine effectiveness from COVID does tend to wane. It does diminish over time. And if you think about older people, bringing back to the topic of today, older people were the first group of people that were vaccinated after healthcare workers.
Yes.
And if you think about it, we are way past 6 months now, we're way past 8 months now from when they were vaccinated. And if we don't try and get boosters into their arms, then that level of protection that we need them to have diminishes. And vaccines still remain the most effective form of preventing serious, serious COVID. And one of the things that I perhaps wanted to mention just now, but I completely forgot, was with a lot of the time we've talked about the impact of COVID, we've talked a little bit about long COVID just now, but an older person coming into hospital for treatment of their COVID is just as bad as getting the COVID itself. You are isolated. You are looked after in an isolated manner. You don't get access to, seeing your families because you have COVID and you need to be treated in hospital. So an older person having to be treated in hospital because of COVID, that's really, really bad as well for them physically as well as psychologically.
Okay. And we'll come back and find out why this hesitancy, but can you just address the first reason for hesitancy? There are a couple of reasons. I'm just thinking, why is it the older people have gotten were okay to get the first two vaccines, but why suddenly the hesitancy to get the booster?
So sometimes I wonder if we perhaps made the assumption that just because someone's had the first two vaccines that they're going to automatically sign up and get the third one. And it seems to be not the case at the moment. And talking to a lot of the older people I come into contact with, a lot of it comes down to perhaps a level of mistrust or doubt. See, when you started, you say, you know what, if we get the vaccines, we're going to end the pandemic, we're going to move on from the pandemic, we're going to reclaim our lives again, you say it's going to prevent transmission and this and that. And then now you say, oh, actually, two doses are not enough. You need a third dose now. Now you're saying that, well, the outcomes that we talk about is preventing serious COVID. So your goalpost keeps shifting. So which is it then? And now you're talking about third dose, is there going to be a fourth dose? So there is some element of mistrust, if I could call it that way, about do we need this or not? Do we really have to? Why is it what you're saying now inconsistent with what we were told in the very beginning? And the other reason what I come across quite often is many older people do remember what it was like when they had the COVID vaccinations, and many didn't feel very well after the vaccination. And now you hear stories about how the third dose perhaps makes things worse, worse side effects, feeling unwell, and there is certainly that fear as well with cumulative doses of vaccine. So that all feeds into this like hesitancy to the third dose, among others, obviously.
Okay. We'll come back and continue this discussion on the elderly and getting their booster shots to, you know, sort of look after themselves, especially against the Omicron variant of COVID. PPBs will now start offering Sinovac boosters. We'll come to that because it feels like many who have gotten Sinovac do not want to be boosted with any other vaccine, and we'll try and understand the psychology there. Senior citizens who have not been boosted by 1st of March will now lose their fully vaccinated status on MySujathra, and that's not very long. We've only got like another 2 weeks to go. So let's help in any way to sort of clear any sort of misconceptions that's coming up next. If you have a question or you want to share a story about how you have trouble convincing an older family member to get boosted, or are you yourself not convinced about it? Because I do know children played a big role in convincing their parents in the first round of vaccinations. I know I had to speak to my own parents, but they seemed quite comfortable when, you know, if they said, okay, we need a booster, we'll just go get the booster. But there are many people who aren't getting it. So if you have a question, WhatsApp 01878 98 9, or you can give us a call to share a story, perhaps 7733 2900, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Health and Living segment. We're discussing healthy aging. How do we convince our senior citizens to get the booster for the COVID-19 vaccine? Dr. Terence Ong, consultant geriatrician from University of Malaya Medical Centre, on the line with me, helping us to sort of understand why or what's holding back almost 1 million of our senior citizens from getting their COVID-19 booster shots. So we went through side effects, Dr. Terence, could be of some kind of fear. You also said there's a misconception that many of them feel that symptoms are mild, because we, not even just in Malaysia, all over the world, we're talking about how Omicron symptoms are much milder. Mixing and matching, you know, a lot of people with who took the first two doses of Sinovac, I find they're the ones who are really, really hesitant to get a booster, which is either an mRNA sort of vaccine. Now, what is going on there? And if you do get a booster, and, you know, the PPVs are going to start giving boosters soon of Sinovac vaccine, what's the difference? Why are we giving out mRNA and only now thinking of giving out Sinovac?
Yeah, I think this is it's a tricky one. Now, we know that we know a lot more about vaccines now than we did perhaps at the very beginning. We know a lot more about COVID now than we did earlier on in the pandemic. What we can say about vaccines in general with regards to boosters is that a mixed and match approach, a heterologous vaccine approach, certainly delivers a more effective immune response. And there was this pretty well-cited study from Brazil where they looked at, you know, those who've had, you know, say, so Sinovac, and Sinovac compared with, say, Sinovac, Pfizer. Mm-hmm. Those who had the Pfizer booster had, you know, 8 to 22 times higher antibody response compared to a Sinovac booster. Now, quick word to say here is that, you know, that doesn't mean a Sinovac third dose was ineffective. It just meant that if we are serious about, say, maximizing vaccine effectiveness, wanting to give people the best opportunity to prevent COVID and serious COVID, we now have data that tells us which is the combination that seems to do the best job. And that is with an mRNA booster. And very recently, I think we had some data released from the Malaysia's Institute for Clinical Research, and they had some real-world data of how different combinations delivered different levels of protection. And the ones that, again, came up fairly top the leaderboard was with a Pfizer booster. And what's also reassuring is when we look at what's happening elsewhere, outside Malaysia, for instance, mRNA booster, Pfizer boosters, is what's recommended in places like UK, Australia, States, and even our neighbors in Singapore. So again, when we talk about the science, certainly the Pfizer mRNA booster appears to offer the greatest level of protection. Now, coming back to the second part of your question is, why have we sort of gone back then not offering Sinovac? Because at the end of the day, there is a need for boosters. There is a need for a third dose. And having a Sinovac booster, having a booster is still better than just the first and second vaccination only. And if providing that level of choice gets people through those doors into the PPVs and getting something into the arms, that is still better than perhaps nothing. But whenever I see someone in clinic and they ask me this particular question, I always ask them, right, if you want to have the best level of protection, then this is what the science says. This is what we would recommend. But there is a big but. If you feel for whatever reason, say a Sinovac booster is what your preference would be, and I would respect it, this is how you can go about getting access to that.
Okay. Prabha from PG has texted in to say, I've been talking to some seniors who are anti-third dose for the simple reason that they've heard someone here or there having severe reactions. As you mentioned, Dr. Terence, severe here means fever, body aches, etc. When I say that I was okay, my mum was okay, my wife was okay, they sort of look at me like I'm lying. So some amount of distrust, right? It is quite interesting, the psychology of the whole thing. Let's talk about people who are willing to take the boosters, Dr. Terence. Why were they willing to take it as opposed to those who are a little bit hesitant?
So this is quite interesting. I remember when boosters were first announced and we had a huge group of older people. They were like, all right, where do I sign up? How do I get it? Come on. And obviously now four months later, you know, those who were enthusiastic about the boosters have all had them now. And we've got now are the ones who are still just hesitant or sitting on the fence. So why did they want it? Well, for them, I think they've always certainly understood the message. They've always understood the importance and what COVID vaccination can do. So they were always believers in a sense. So it wasn't very difficult. They knew COVID is bad, can cause lots of problems. COVID itself, long COVID itself, hospital deconditioning. They know vaccines work. They're up to date. They have perhaps children that threaten that, you know, if you don't get your boosters, you're not seeing your grandchildren kind of thing. You know? So they were believers anyway. And thankfully, it wasn't very difficult to convince them. It's where we are now, 4 months later, where we are starting to struggle a little bit. And I remember reading this quite interesting article from COVID Blue a few days ago. And it very much highlighted what we're seeing in clinical practice, where we had this huge growth in numbers of booster uptakes. And then by about mid-January, it sort of started getting stagnated. And the number didn't really shift at all. And that, like I say, echoes what we're seeing in clinic at the moment, that the ones who wanted had gotten it. And now we are in this wave where we're trying to perhaps convince people. Now, how much convincing we're going to need to do now, I'm not quite sure, because as what you pointed out, there's this, you know, you need your booster, if not, you're going to lose your fully vaccinated status. Now, how that's going to change the game would be quite interesting.
So, I mean, you know, it makes me wonder, right? So are you now considered just someone who's outright rejecting the booster, or are you hesitant, or are you an anti-vaxxer? You know, it's like, I'm not sure. How do you approach these people? How do you talk to them in the clinic?
Well, I think regardless of whether they are anti-vaxxers or vaccine hesitant, I don't even think there's a clear definition for either categories, but regardless of it, the first thing I always ask is, why? At the end of the day, each of us make healthcare decisions, make any decisions with some reasoning behind it. And part of what I do is I ask why do you decide, did you make that particular decision? In this case, why have you decided to not go for the vaccine at this point in time? And you start to get quite interesting reasonings, some interesting stories about, and some of them are fairly legitimate ones. For instance, this week alone, I had, you know, someone's husband who said he's not keen for his wife to be vaccinated because after she had her second one, she got very poorly. She needed to come to A&E to be seen by the doctors. And I could understand why he made that particular decision. And so then working through, right, what can we do about it? Mm-hmm. Then you also have still, unfortunately, misinformation that permeates through. Another patient I saw this week alone itself, who was still worried that if she took the vaccine, then She's been injected with live coronavirus and she might spread COVID to her immediate family members. So, but unless we ask those questions about why, then we're never going to be able to get to the root of why and how to address them, how to perhaps tackle them straight on. So come back to the caller who sent, the listener who sent that message earlier on about how some people are hesitant because they hear stories about someone who became very poorly, and stories like that do permeate. And when he tried to convince others that he was fine and other people were fine, but we don't get that many stories like that. So the negative ones are still permeating through, and they are the ones that are currently making the loudest noise, not the good ones.
How do you speak to them when they come to the clinic?
So I ask, hey, so what are your views on the booster? Have you had it? If they say yes, great, we move on. If they say no, they haven't, I ask them why. And they say, well, I'm worried, doctor. I am concerned about this, or I read this particular story. And then it's about tackling those individual reasons. And at the moment, the ones I hear more often than not is they've heard somebody who had a very bad effect to it. They quote, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's true enough for them that it's made them, not to say an anti-vax, but to have doubt in the safety of the vaccine. And it's quite interesting going through this process this last year or so. You have press statements, you have a Minister of Health telling us about the low numbers of, adverse events following immunization, AEFIs. About, it's 84 per million, which is something ridiculously low, like 0.0008%, so which is lower than the risk of taking many medications that my patients take. But you see, although that risk is low, as long as they know somebody who has had a problem, it plays a very big part. Then it's about them changing the narrative. Okay, I've never said that vaccines are 100% safe. No clinician would ever be brave enough to say that whatever intervention, drug, treatment, surgery, procedure that they're going to offer is 100% safe. But let's talk about what's important now. Now we have a very clear Omicron wave sweeping through the country. Okay, whether we like it or not, the numbers will go up. More and more people will be affected. Okay, what seems important now is to make sure that if yourself, say the older person, or your loved one, your mom, your dad, your granddad, your grandmother, the older person, if you are serious about making sure that they do not suffer any ill effects from the COVID, we need to try and protect them. Keeping them at home, not letting them go out, isn't the solution, okay? For various reasons. Vaccines work. So changing the narrative from, okay, yes, there are side effects, there are concerns you've experienced, some of them during the first and the second vaccination. But let's think about it differently and think about what you could potentially gain, what benefit, what protection, and focusing on that. Now, at the end of the day, after talking to them, I don't expect everyone to be a convert. I don't expect my patients, after listening to a wonderful Dr. Terence Song's speech, they say, right, doctor, sign me up. How do I get it? My job is just to try and address some of the doubts that they have. And this is where we do need that consistent messaging. Consistent messaging, not from the healthcare professionals, but from official channels like the ministry. If you think about it, when we started rolling out the vaccination, the number of videos, posters, anything vaccine related to get people through those doors, there's so many of them. And at this point in time, we don't seem to have that much coming through to try and address some of these uncertainties. I use a very unscientific evidence for observation for this. I mean, My parents, when they were going to go for their first and second dose vaccination were really excited about it. They told everybody about it. When they took it, they had that, you know, Saya Sudah the vaccine picture, which they posted on social media. Everybody knew, and then they posted about, you know, I'm okay, you know, I'm all right. For the first and second one, during that booster time, I can't even remember anything along those lines.
No.
Now, whether it's pandemic fatigue or what, but we do need a lot more positive messaging to reinforce a lot of perhaps what I see in clinic, perhaps what other doctors say in clinic, perhaps what they hear in the news. But unless we get those consistent messaging going forward, it's going to be very hard to shift people's perception of things.
Do you not think with this group of people, the senior citizens, peers play a huge role and positive sharing from peers? And if only we could have more of that going on, then maybe, right?
I completely agree. I think people trust information given by people that they trust. So I thankfully got parents who've bought into the whole message, and they tell their friends about it. They challenge some of these perhaps misinformation about the vaccine, and they try to encourage their friends to take it up. Because at the end of the day, if we just get one person to convince another person to take the vaccine, problem solved. Yeah. That's it. Just one person to convince another person.
That's right. I find that more effective with the elderly. People talk about incentivizing them, you know, strengthening messaging. You can do all of that. Maybe even extend certain privileges, like, you know, you can dine out or, you know, to say it can be taken away. I don't think all of that, in my opinion, it doesn't really matter to them. What do you think? I mean, and you meet them every day. What keeps you going? I mean, is it very frustrating on your side? And I don't think anyone's going to even listen to you, Dr. Terrence.
So how do I keep going? I thankfully, I've got peers who are very understanding. And funny enough, early in the week, I just sent a WhatsApp message group to my fellow geriatrician colleagues about, the last five people I've spoken to in clinic have all said no to me about the vaccine, and I feel very disheartened about it and stuff. And they've been very supportive because we know that one individual doesn't always make a difference, but it's about a collective movement to get people signing up for it. And that's why it's so important. And my forums like today is very important because we keep the message going. And not that I want to, I think, like I said, that we're not vaccinating children already, but I do sometimes worry whether the booster requirement message might get, you know, dampened down because we're focusing on the children, because they're both just as important with regards to population from vaccination from a public health perspective. But coming back to the topic at hand, it's not easy. I am fairly realistic, and I think we all should be realistic, that just because we spend 15 minutes talking to someone about the benefits of vaccine isn't going to immediately change their mind. It's a process. It takes time.
We don't have a lot of time.
And
that's the problem.
Yeah,
right?
And that is the problem, which is why we've got this thing that by, you know, the 1st of March, if you haven't got your booster or your third dose, then you are going to lose your fully vaccinated privileges. And part of me can understand why such a decision was taken. It is an unfortunate time that we're living in. There is a sense of urgency to trying to get as many boosters as given, as many older people, because older people still represent the most vulnerable group to getting a bad COVID. So I can understand that. But perhaps what we have to do shouldn't stop at just saying, okay, you have to get it boosted or else you can't dine out, you can't have a haircut. I think the messaging has to continue so that people understand why such a directive was made, why such a perhaps a mandate was prescribed. Because at the end of the day, all you might just end up doing is make people who are already very disillusioned, even more disillusioned. You know, that they are somehow forced to taking something that they didn't want to do, where they were skeptical about already, which then feeds into this whole distrust of, you know, say government handling of the pandemic, if you think about it broadly. So yes, this directive is coming into force. I suspect we'll see a lot more people getting their booster shots. But the why we need it, the messaging that should go with it, cannot stop, cannot cease, so that we can get people who, okay, right, so I see why I need to do this. Okay, this makes sense now. All right then.
You're an idealist, aren't you?
Well,
I'm going to come back and ask you whether we should just start with the you can't see your grandchildren sort of approach coming up after the market update on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. In our healthy aging segment of Health and Living, we're discussing trying to convince senior citizens to get boosted. Dr. Terence Ong, consultant geriatrician from University of Malaya Medical Center, joining me. We've got about more than a million of our senior citizens aged 60 and above who have not gotten their COVID-19 booster shots. And we're sort of getting a little desperate because now those who have not been boosted by 1st of March will lose their fully vaccinated status on MySejahtera. And that applies also to Sinovac recipients, regardless of age. So many younger people have taken Sinovac and are not wanting to be boosted, and even they will lose their vaccination status. But the PPVs are giving Sinovac boosters to those who do not want to take other vaccines. And I do know the science shows that, you know, Pfizer is really the best booster for the moment, Dr. Terence. But for those who take the Sinovac booster, I mean, what are the concerns, or will they need a booster again, a fourth one perhaps?
$1 million question. Don't think at this very point in time we know with definite what's going to happen after the third dose. Do we need fourth dose, fifth doses? Do we need annual COVID vaccine boosters like the way we do flu vaccinations? And I think these are still questions that are up in the air. I'm sure with time those answers will questions will become clearer and we will have answers to them. But the focus remains that what we do know now, which is a third dose, is absolutely crucial, and there's sadly no going around it. And yes, there are concerns, there are genuine questions about, oh, you want me to get a third dose after you say two doses that I need, then you know, I'm going to be a fourth. And I get this all the time. I say, well, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But what I do know is this, and I lay down the facts. Third dose does this. It can help this. It can deliver the protection that you need. You know, and there's this sort of, you know, thing going around with, you know, eventually everybody's going to get COVID, so why bother? Well, actually, if you know that you're going to get COVID at some point, because chances are it's coming closer and closer to you, don't you want to give yourself the best level of protection that if it does affect you, you are going to be least affected by it, that you're not going to have to come into hospital, that you're not going to be needing treatment in hospital and so forth. So lots of questions that remain unanswered. I'm sure these questions will be answered in due course. But there are enough answers that we have now on how to handle the pandemic, how to handle COVID, and how to do it effectively.
Okay. I mean, you would understand the psychology of the elderly better than I would. Because, you know, push comes to shove, and if my parents didn't want to, I'd probably throw every tactic I could, you know, any blackmail to make sure that they actually get it. And we know that's not really the best option. But when you understand the psychology of them, how do we approach them best?
If I had an easy answer to this question, I would bottle it, market it, and sell it and make myself very, very rich. Okay. And at the end of the day, it's no different. So if you talk to any healthcare professional, and it's just not about vaccines, but in any sort of healthcare intervention, stopping someone with a drug, trying to convince them to have a certain procedure, a certain test done, many patients will, for one reason or another, say, no, I don't want it. And to my mind, to the doctors might be like, this is bonkers. Why would you not want something that seems to work so effectively? Why do you seem to heighten this very, very tiny risk? So trying to get through to older people, older patients, and trying to in a way, see where they're coming from. It's going to be a challenge. And this is before we even talk about the way, how we have social structures in Malaysia, where, you know, when an older person makes a healthcare decision, it's not just them that's making a decision. Yeah. We've got family members that come into the picture. You know, usually in clinic, we have not just a patient, but we have a family member, usually a spouse or a son or a daughter or a child. And it's very much trying to convince both, really, about why the vaccine is required. And it always, like us, it comes down to first principles about, okay, what's worrying you? Why do you not want it? Sometimes it's very easy to address some of these perhaps myths or misinformation. But when it comes to more genuine concerns, in the sense that where something, the example that I can think of was the one that happened earlier this week, where, you know, this particular individual after the second dose was very, very poorly, and I said, okay, you know the boosters work, you're worried about this, what can we do to try and navigate around that possibility? Could we try and time it? Could we try and optimize it? Could we try and do certain things? But having that discussion, asking what their concerns were, slowly you start to build a picture of what I need to do, what I need to say, to perhaps get them onto seeing why vaccines are important. And what I've also realized is that numbers don't seem to play that big a role in all this. So I can quote things like vaccine effectiveness dropped to, you know, 30% of the Omicron after two doses. But to an older person, it means absolutely nothing to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand 90% vaccine effectiveness. I don't understand relative risk reduction. Okay, so it's about trying to change how we convey numbers, important statistics, in a way that they can also understand.
It's also very cultural, isn't it?
It's also very cultural because, like I said, you've got to convince not just the older person, but the accompanying family member. And if they've got, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 children, sometimes you've got to convince all 6 of them. And I've had clinic sessions where, right, the son's agreed, the patient's agreed, then the son's going to ring the other 5 siblings to get everyone's consent. Yeah. And then, okay, let's go with it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, alongside all this messaging that we're trying to do, all this engagement that we're trying to do, I think I must applaud what the ministry is also doing, where it's making access to booster shots so much easier now. You know, you literally can walk into a PPV these days and say, you know what, I need a booster. We've talked about choice previously already. So, and I think it's certainly applauded what the ministry has also done to try and create access, because convincing people is one thing. You want to strike while the iron is hot. So, right, I've got you convinced now. Let's take this the next step, which is get that jab into your arm.
Yeah. Question from WhatsApp. If you have had COVID, when do you get your booster?
If you have had COVID, when do you get booster?
So you're vaccinated, mm-hmm, first two, and then you contract COVID. When do you get your booster?
So as long as you are, say, 3 months after your second dose,
mm-hmm,
and you have recovered from your COVID infection, then you can get your booster.
Okay. So do we calculate from the second dose, or do we calculate from the COVID that you, the when you actually got COVID?
So 3 months from your second vaccination, as well as you have recovered from your COVID.
Okay. All right.
So let me try that again. So let's say you've had your vaccinated 3 months ago, but you've had COVID in between those 3 months' time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As long as you've recovered, you're okay. You don't have to wait 3 months after your COVID infection to get the vaccine, as long as it's 3 months after the second vaccination.
Okay, got it. I have a question here. I had a minor stroke about 2 months ago. This is Ben, and underwent a PFO closure. Can I take the booster? My neurologist said I must wait 3 months, and my cardiacs have said you can take the booster immediately. Ben is 63 years old. What are your thoughts on this?
The first question is, can you take the booster? The answer is yes. So the question now is timing of your booster.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm not a cardiologist, so I perhaps would caution myself about giving advice over national radio.
Sure.
But I think this is something you probably will need to have a chat with your cardiologist with. The KKM, the ministry has got quite clear guidelines about who can or cannot and when they should have boosters, and the condition that you've described shouldn't preclude you from getting a booster if you feel well enough and have recovered from your procedure.
Okay. There's someone who's saying today Pharma Niaga has said 3 doses of Sinovac is more effective than 2 doses of Sinovac with a Pfizer booster. Is this contrary to what we've been discussing, Dr. Terence?
Yes, so I think I did see that piece of press release as well prior to coming onto the show. First word of caution, never make healthcare decisions on the basis of what is said in the press or through press releases.
Hey, don't say that. People are listening to your show. Go ahead. Go to the Ministry of Health website, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go to Ministry of Health website. But also, I think there may have been perhaps miscitation in that press release. So many people through Telegram and social media and stuff have gone back to the original manuscript. So it was a non-yet peer-reviewed manuscript, meaning it's not gone through the usual process of a piece of scientific publication coming to print where you have people reviewing the data and making sure it makes sense. So this was a non-peer-reviewed manuscript that has been published on the internet, and that was where the press release was cited. And it doesn't particularly say that. So I'm sure there will be responses to this through hopefully official channels and stuff to debunk that. But at the end of the day, what that particular manuscript, which was cited in this press release, did say is a third dose, whether it's Sinovac or Pfizer, is still better than just having first and second dose of vaccination. Mm-hmm. So the message is still consistent that you still need a booster.
Whichever vaccine you actually take. Okay. What's your message, Dr. Terence?
What is my message? I think my message is pretty simple, and I've sort of gone around this particular team for the last, you know, sort of 15 minutes or so. Vaccines work. Boosters definitely work. You may be listening to this and you may have doubts. You may know people who have doubts, concerns, and there are legitimate concerns. There are legitimate doubts because it's a healthcare decision and it's a very stressful time. But what I hope you take away from this particular session is reach out to people who may be able to talk through some of these concerns with you. Address some of those queries. I know of many people who are willing to engage the general public. The ministry has FAQ sites. Social media is awash with pretty good information. But the first thing is to ask yourself, okay, why am I hesitant? Can I talk to someone about it? Because all I'm hearing today is that vaccine and boosters are so good. So talk to someone about it, address those concerns, and hopefully we get you across that door into one of our many, many PPVs that are offering booster vaccines these days.
Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Terence Ong, consultant geriatrician from University of Malaya Medical Centre, speaking to us about convincing our senior citizens to get their booster shots on Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.